Letterman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the space. I'm Laura Scappaticci. It's nice to see you. This is the Vigil of the Heart portion of day two of the Sacred Gateway online conference. We're so glad you're joining us. Welcome back from your workshops and this interesting ride that we're on together in this new format for this conference and for many conferences across the country as we try to do this online. Our motto is do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. As we try out this new format, we hope you had a great experience in your workshops and we're glad you're coming back to us. Please, if you have a candle still lit, keep it lit. And I'm gonna turn it over now to Linda Berg.
I'm lighting my candle. Oh, let's all take a breath. Wow. Such an amazing morning. I'm Linda Berg, and I'd like to introduce my co-host, co-presenter, Ellen Hopschmidt. And if you can unmute yourself, she will be our guide through our ceremony today. She is a celebrant, a chaplain, and the author of a book about body blessings. Ellen?
Welcome. Thank you, Linda. It's a great pleasure to be here.
And I'd also like to introduce Cynthia Hoven. So maybe, Cynthia, can you unmute? She's going to lead us in Eurythmy after we do our vigil, and this will really be so wonderful. Cynthia?
I'm happy to be here with us. Looking forward to the morning.
And all of our contact information will be on the resources. Cynthia's teaching online. Ellen has a new book. All these things are available. And now we begin with just some words to warm the space. So much that Patrick said last night. His words probably rang with all of us. Letting, opening, expanding, learning, healing, loving, living. We are being asked in this time to look at how we can be even more who we are, how we can expand our boundaries and find new ways forward. So in this Vigil of the Heart time, we have the opportunity for timelessness and connection as a circle. So even though we're all boxes, picture that we are in a huge circle of connection. So in this time of COVID, we are looking for new ways to live. And when we do our ritual, it's for us to each listen to our own heart and what is right for us. Who we wish to connect with could be someone long ago, someone who's crossing now, a family who's struggling that we can't see. It could even be our collective grief about all the souls who are leaving. And at all times, we know as we're breathing in and out that no one dying is ever alone. Before we begin, I want to say a word about this home vigil. Some of you are very familiar with it, but others may not be. This time after someone dies has been a part of anthroposophy and many spiritual traditions for millennia. Home vigils bring meaning for families and friends with that physical closeness to care, to touch, to grieve, to honor. And Rudolf Steiner has then brought us this awareness that during these days is when the life body, the memory body, is being released, and to be close is best spiritual practice. Now, if we can't be close, and that happened in the past, people were encouraged to be close in their hearts and minds, to send a prayer, light a candle. Some of you may have experienced a home vigil. You may remember a moment of touch, saying goodbye, even a healing. You may have experienced sending love to someone who was far away feeling connected. I wanted to say just a little bit about why it is that Ellen and I are guiding this today. My first husband died suddenly, and after that death, it made a difference to me and my daughter that we were able to have a vigil in our home to say goodbye physically. The next year, my daughter Kirsten and her best friend Nina died in a car accident, and the community 1,000 miles from my home created a home vigil, but I was in ICU as the sole survivor and couldn't be there. But the fact they were holding a vigil made me feel more at peace and I could send her love. And then I wanted to share that when my second husband died, Jack Heckelman, when we had a home vigil, I stood by his casket the morning after he died. And I had a feeling I've never had before or since. I felt peace in the room breathing me. Since then, I've been passionate about supporting others having any kind of vigil, and this is where Ellen comes in. She was working as a hospital chaplain for a decade in Duluth, Minnesota. She saw many families at a loss after their beloveds died in the hospital. They weren't having a home vigil and they didn't know how to say goodbye. She began to offer sacred body washing and blessing and saw it brought families peace and allowed more closure. So last year at the National Home Funeral Conference, she brought this sacred body blessing to participants in a room we had transformed into a vigil room. And in a quiet ceremony, over 40 attendees could touch the volunteer's hands or face or feet with sacred water and remember their beloved. They reported they felt they were at a real vigil and were moved. So we decided to bring this to the conference in Detroit. And then arrived COVID. We decided it was even more important. So now we ask you to bear with us. None of us have been here before. Just like the death doulas are finding new ways to help families, we're finding our way today, Ellen and I. A home funeral director in New York said, "We are being asked to find new rituals. For rituals say what our words cannot. To touch without touching, to be connected when we can't physically be together." So we ask you to bring yourself to this time, and we're taking breaths in here as I speak. And I want to thank you for the courage to attend a death conference in the middle of a pandemic. It's a very vulnerable and precious time. The fact that we are all together actually allows for something very special. We can create a community of connection, an altar of connection that can ray out far beyond our gathering. So during this ritual, please give yourself permission to participate in your own unique way. You may have many altars or you may have none. This we're thinking about is an altar for this moment. If you have some things or don't, it doesn't matter. You will figure this out. You may have hands to build it or hold one object or just be present with your heart. It is your presence and your intention to open and expand to see what's living for you. As we take a breath and come into this space and release what has gone before, Ellen will guide us into a ritual. And after that, we will go to breakout rooms again, this moment to share with another human being, although virtually. And then after the breakout rooms, we'll have some open time for sharing and thoughts. And Ellen and I will close our portion with a song, and Cynthia will help us breathe with movement in your rhythm. So now, our vigil of the heart. Ellen?
Thank you, Linda, for your opening remarks. You said
one thing. Should we take down the slide? I forgot my order. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your remarks. You set such a beautiful tone, which has allowed me to settle into my body and to be in this session with all of you. It's a very important time for us to be gentle, primarily with ourselves. So much is going on. Check with yourself right now for any tightness in your body. Could be in your jaw, in your shoulders, or in your body. Let go of any tension and worry and join me as best you can with ease in your heart as we remember our loved ones. Let whatever comes up freely rise and freely pass away. Try not to hold on to anything. Just let feelings pass through, however they come. Everything we're doing today will be personal to you, but we will be doing it in community. In this way, we're building support and strength for taking the time to privately be with our own personal feelings without having to reveal anything you are not prepared to do. We as a society, of course, are going through one of the most challenging times in our history. I say this because I will be asking you to go inward, finding ways to find our collective grief and loss. We are all tender, so be gentle. Do whatever you need to take care of yourself. As Linda said, there will be a small breakout group a little later on in the experience. We're going to begin by starting to make our own altar to honor your loved one, creating sacred space in one way to honor and remember, as Linda said, your loved ones in the past and the present, pets that may have died, things that have been lost to you, possibly jobs, aspects of nature, the sensation of touching or unfinished grief. The altar can also be made for someone you can't be with during this time due to the pandemic. Now, there have been notices, so many of you may have already prepared your altar, or you may have brought a few things and want to do it right now. But if you have forgotten or didn't have time to get things together, we'll take a few minutes now for those to gather things or add one more thing. So we'll have about 3 minutes, but I hope that you can at least bring a pitcher of water, an empty bowl, and a candle. Go ahead and gather those things now. I'll keep talking about some other things, or just sit and take in your beautiful altar. You can include herbs or flowers, any symbols, any memorabilia that's easy to put your hands on, pictures. You can also include cloth or scarf to set things down on. If you don't have these things available to you right now for any reason, or you aren't quite sure you know what we're doing, you're welcome to watch and follow along with me in your imagination. Join us anytime. But if you can, try to bring something, even if it's just a candle. Now I'm going to show you my altar. And then I'll ask Linda to show you hers. If you're still gathering, that's all right. Here's my altar. Let's see if I can. Yeah, there's just some memorabilia, candle, and a bowl. There you go. Every altar is going to look very different. I was thinking it could even be as easy as a pair of shoes. So what is ever right for you? I'm going to ring the bell as an invitation to everybody coming back. Please join me back online. If you're not finished, you can always add things at another time. Together, let's light that candle now. You could all light your candle. Take a moment to look at your altar or imagine it. Check in with how you feel as you take in what you've created. Where in your body do you feel sensation? The feelings may not all be pleasant, and that's okay. It's still helpful to be with them just as they are, for as long as you can be. Now we're going to make some sacred water together, or to make this water sacred. The element of water represents the whole emotional range, from flowing wildly, swiftly, gently, or slowly. Water also can be still, frozen, cold, or warm, just like our feelings. I think you get the idea. I'm going to demonstrate what I'm talking about of how we're going to proceed, and then I'll ask you to do the same thing at your location. If you have your pitcher and water, I'm going to pour water in now. And as I do it, I'm going to bring forth some of the memories of water that were true of my loved ones. My loved ones are my parents. And as I pour, I think of the Great Lakes. They just loved the Great Lakes. Think of Little Lake Pewaukee, Crab Lake, the oceans where they traveled, the Straits of Malacca off of Malaysia where we had vacationed at one time. And now I'm going to ask you all to do the same thing. We'll be doing this individually, but we'll be doing it together. So as you pour the water into the bowl, please say out loud to yourself, I think everyone is on mute. So this will be very private. The fishing holes, the streams, the rivers, the waterfalls, anything of water. And do that now. Thank you. Take your time, be with intention. Thank you. I call what we have done. Excuse me, I'm moving a chair. I call what we have done is the creation of making sacred water. That means that all the waters from around the world, or sometimes they call it waters of the world, all those are joining together in our memory, bringing us closer together. So this included with the memories of your loved ones makes this waters of the world. Now to add on to it, I'm going to now demonstrate the next part of what we're doing. And I'm going to start with adding some herbs. I happen to have some rosemary with me. And in my hand, I'm pinching the rosemary to bring out the scent. And I happen to know that one of the meanings of rosemary, it symbolizes memory of wonderful qualities. So I'm asking you to add any herbs that you may have or anything on the altar that you would now like to add in. And as you add them, say the qualities. So the qualities, the herbs I just put in, make me remember that my parents were builders of communities. They really cared for other people and for the community, and taught me a lot about being a member of a community. So please do that with your loved ones. Part of any ritual is to make something beautiful. And now I'm going to invite you to add anything that's on your altar. It doesn't have to be what I say. It doesn't have to be the same herbs. It's just important to you. But I'm going to add some flower petals, because flowers and the petals I have are images of love. So add your flowers, if you have any, dried or fresh, or anything from your altar. It could even be a little pebble. I think I have one. Anything that might glisten in the water. There you go. And if you don't have an object, just let it be something from your own heart and your own memories. Now take a moment and just look at your water. Look at the beauty, the elements you have called in. I reflected on my mother's cooking, how much I love that, and her hosting and her big parties, and my father's booming voice. I'm sure you have your own memories. Thank you. Now all of us, even separate, we've been creating this sacred water. It's been imbued with our special intentions to honor, to love, to remember things that we've lost, giving us time to reflect on our own feelings. Now that we've had this water, I'm going to invite us to do a self-blessing. Now we know from science, from psychology, from spirituality, that what we give ourselves, we give to those around us. We know, for example, if we're crabby, the household seems to be crabby. If we're loving and caring and patient, that quality, we get that from others as well. So we're all connected. And now I'd like to demonstrate how we can have a self-blessing and let that also be a blessing for our loved ones. So let me do this first. If I were at a family with a bedside, I might have some cotton balls or some washcloths that we could dip into this water after everyone had contributed. But today, I'm just going to take my fingers. Whoops. I'm just going to bless my third eye, my intentions, my knowingness, and just appreciate that I have trusted myself and that I trust the goodness in my of my own heart. Now I'm going to dip into the water and touch my heart. And just acknowledge to myself all the self-care I've given to myself and to others. Maybe even acknowledge the self-care that I sometimes forget to give to myself. But knowing my own caringness. And thank myself for it. This is a time to be bold. Without judgment. And then finally, I'm going to dip my hands into the water. I'm just going to touch my hands because they represent the part of the body that gives. And all the giving I've given to my family, to myself, to my husband, to the community, to other loved ones, to the world, all the prayers I've given to nature, the spirits. Thank you. Now, with our phones muted, I invite you to do this self-blessing for yourself. I encourage you to be honest, to be courageous. This isn't always an easy thing, but please take time and give to yourself, because as you do, you will be giving to your loved ones, either here or who have passed, pets, whatever it is. Just take time to be with yourself. If it will give you more privacy and comfort, feel free to turn from the camera, and I will ring the bell again when to come back. Just to give yourself compassion for the things in your life, past and present. Now we'll do this under the cover of silence. Please come back in the room together.
And Laura, can you bring up the next slide?
And then I'll share this poem. Thank you. This is what I've often shared at bedsides with families shortly after their loved ones have died. Thank you for your mind and all the thoughts and dreams you had. Thank you for your eyes, for all the beauty and ugliness you witnessed. Thank you for your ears and all you have heard, the peaceful and the harsh. Thank you for the words you spoke and those you couldn't speak but wanted to. Thank you for the breath that gave you life. Thank you for your heart that bore your sweetness. Thank you for your back and shoulders for bearing the responsibilities you accepted. Thank you for the love you shared. Thank you for your hands, for all they held. Thank you for your legs that carried your humanness. Thank you for your feet that stood you on the ground. Thank you for your life that touched us deeply. You're blessed. You will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ellen. Can you bring up the next slide, Laura? Now we're going to go into our breakout rooms for just a few minutes. And can we have those be groups of three? And we'll each take a moment. We've been doing this in most of our groups, but that confidentiality is honored, and that we always listen quietly as the witness, holding space for that person, that we speak what is on our heart just at this moment, and that we try to make sure everyone in the space gets to share. So I think with our timing, we should have about 6 minutes or so for sharing time.
Okay. And you said three people in each room? Is that what you said, Linda?
Right, if we can do that. And our prompt would be just to whatever is living in you.
Okay, I'm trying to stop crying a little.
Can we do three each? Would that be okay?
Yeah, it'll be three to four each. And if you end up good, in a room that's alone, fine. I'll try to move you to a room where you're with people.
Okay.
If you choose,
so thank you.
Total, just like 2 minutes each.
About right? 2 minutes yeah. each. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tess, I'm going to create the rooms, and then if you can unmute everybody, that would be great. And then if you end up in a room alone, I'll try to move you if I can. Or you can come back okay. to the main room. Here we go, and please accept the invitation.
Somebody's ceiling.
Yeah. Everyone might want to put on their gallery view so we can see each other. Ellen's going to just have, we only have like 1 or 2 minutes to hear any thoughts that came from our breakout room.
And just so you know, there's still people in their breakout room, so they do not oh, okay. want to leave.
Okay.
So people, all right. I think it's okay just to...
And we have enough time because Cynthia, you know, is shorter. So I think...
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, I think maybe we're all here. I'm going to, and who's speaking next, Ellen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it certainly, a lot has gone on this morning. Melinda's was beautiful. This might have brought up things personally. It's all right to keep it to yourself. If you have any questions or thoughts or just comments on the experience, Linda and I would love to hear.
I shared toward the end of the group, I honored three different people, but my sister passed in last fall, and there was a memorial held there for her at the time, but we planned another one that I was going to attend and family back in Kansas City. She was in Montana, and we had to cancel that. That was April 25th. Well, I guess coming up, so it's not happening. And I'm just sorting out what could be, because I don't know that these people would have been, I don't, even this ritual, I'm trying to, you know, it seems like there ought to be some ritual that maybe we could do virtually, and I'm contemplating what that could be.
Well, it's possible. One thought is that everyone could make an altar, share those pictures of the altar, and a collage could be made, or then there could be conversation after that. I think this is really open to your own resources and your own experiences. What I'm trying to do here is just ignite your imagination of what works for every family. It's a little bit different.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. My name is Jennifer Tucker. I'm in Vancouver, Washington. I work as a music thanatologist, mm-hmm. and I hold a lot of grief with families. Mm-hmm. And I just, this vigil was, I didn't expect it to be so personally powerful. Several of my friends have died in the last 4 months, very elderly friends. So I was able to do music thanatology vigils for them. But I also was just divorced, and Good Friday, where all the papers were signed, and this vigil really turned into a vigil of the heart mm-hmm. for my former husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just amazed that it went that direction. Of course, I honored all of my ancestors and mother, parents who have died, and my dear friends who have died in the last 4 months, but it kept coming back to that vigil of the heart for my husband, the anger that I felt. I knew I was really sad, but I couldn't get really to the grief until just last weekend. I had joy and relief and a lot of grief. So this mm-hmm. was really powerful and just wonderful.
Well, that is such a beautiful comment. Thank you. I think when we open ourselves to ritual, that something something we least expect comes forward. And it seems to be just the right thing. So thank you for bringing that forward.
Yes, thank you for bringing this ritual. Wouldn't have come forward. Thank you.
So is there one more? And then we want to move to kind of close our time and move to, yes?
I think Sue Gimple had her hand raised.
Okay, so good. Thank you. Yep. Raising.
Hi, thank you. In our group, many of us felt tremendous connection through the water ritual. It was very beautiful, and thank you for that. And a question that I have, and it came up, is, you know, it's common to do memorials for people a year after, or, you know, long after, but for those who never received a vigil, is it even appropriate to do it a year later, or
yes.
or should we just come up with a totally different ritual for it?
I think it's totally appropriate. Yes. Adjust it to what's needed. I think a ritual of self-blessing for all of you in memory of that individual is a possibility, and it's never too late.
Yes.
For any of these things.
So the last question, Ellen, is what do we do with the water afterward? This is one of the questions that someone asked.
Good question. I recommend it stays. It can stay beautiful with any flowers or herbs that are in it. But after about 24 hours, please take it outside and put it in real earth.
Yes.
Great. Thank you for answering that question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Linda, thank you.
Yes. Oh, our hearts keep cracking further open. We wanted you to know that we have suggestions for other kinds of rituals during the pandemic or for any time. We have Ellen's book is coming out to help people. And there's many resources that we are going to have in your resource list. Somehow this slide.
Sorry, I thought there was a resource slide.
There is. It's okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that there it is. Mm-hmm. And there's national resources available to you. And so these are on the slides, and it'll also be in a written document because we want to be of assistance. And we also have all the verses and the poems and the songs for you on another page as well. And so thank you. And now we're going to close. We have to go back one, Laura. Sorry. We're going to close with a song. And then I will turn it over to Cynthia. So bear with my singing. You are held by holy angels, holy angels, all around you. Hush now, sleep, child, sing the holy angels. We are holding you. You can rest. Morning will come, child. The dawn will break through the darkness. We are holding you. Through the light of the newborn day.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, everyone in the group. This is, you're just wonderful group. It's my honor.
Thank you, Ellen. And now Cynthia will allow us to have some movement. Cynthia?
Whoops, there. My work is with Eurythmy, and Eurythmy is an art form in which we work with the etheric world. The etheric world is the space that the dead, the unborn, the not physically embodied people can access so easily. And so when we do Eurythmy, we understand that it's something that's actually visible to those who have died. And so we have long traditions of doing Eurythmy and giving that to those who are living in the other dimensions. And so with that as a background, I'd like to invite you to do a bit of a Eurythmy journey with me. And we're going to do, first of all, a movement to open up our wings, which is our backspace, the space behind us. And then to do an exercise that lets us feel our heart going into our own selves and then opening to the universe.
And then finally, the most precious of all of these will be to do the hallelujah. And I can imagine that there are quite a few of you who know the hallelujah, who've done it on your own. But I'd like to take you through a journey of doing it three times. And if you know it, you will be able to follow it very clearly. And if you don't know it, do your best to follow with me and I'll talk you through it. And when I do the hallelujah three times in a row, I do it the first time for myself. And the second time I do it as a gift. So you might choose to be thinking of those people who are whom you're holding in the other dimensions, and you can give the energy to them. And then the third time, you can give it away to the entire universe, to everyone on both sides. So I invite you to stand up and give yourself enough room that you'll be able to spread out your arms. Stretch a little bit. Eurythmy is full body work. When we're in the physical world, we normally are looking through our senses, through our eyes predominantly. But if you can imagine, the angelic world is always with us. And imagine them in the space we can't see behind us. So your arms will be like wings, and now you can begin to follow me. Spread your arms wide, and in doing so, feel the space behind you, like you're touching your resources. Okay, this time end with your arms up on top. And slowly and beautifully unfold the angelic wings, or imagine these are the wings of your angel that Linda sang for you. And raise them again behind you. Let your angel teach you that you have wings. Fold them below you. Raise them. You are wonderful. You are bigger than life. And now, open your arms, your wings as wide as you can. And taking the whole etheric world, taking space into you, take your energy to your heart. And now open your heart like a flower unfolding, like a butterfly unfurling your wings. Take the spirit into yourself. And give and open your inmost soul to the spirit. And come in again as if you are being born into this body. And unfold as if you are dying. And letting the spirit come into you. And now slowly drop your arms. See what you feel. And feel the blessedness of being in your body. And now I'll invite you to go with me through the Eurythmy Hallelujah. What we will do here, just so that we, the beginners, can catch up or be with us, we're going to do the Eurythmy sounds that are in the word hallelujah. Ha, ah, then we're going to do seven L's, A, then three L's, ooh, e, ah, ha. So we're speaking with our arms into the etheric world, sculpting space. So follow me. First time through, I'm working with my own energy, and I'll speak a narration. When you do it by yourself later on, you don't need the narration. I'm just taking you with me on the journey. I fold my arms. I feel quiet. When I'm connected, I throw my arms gently open like wings. Open myself to the spirit. And now with the sound, ah, I let the light of the spirit flow to the earth. I imagine sacred water at my feet. With a little L, the first L, I wash the energy of my feet. A little bit larger, I wash my knees. Up to the diaphragm, I wash my inner body. To the heart, opening like a rose, I cleanse my heart. To the larynx, I cleanse my speaking, may my word be pure. I cleanse my thinking. I cleanse my whole self. A. Now with this sound, I acknowledge the boundaries, the thresholds, and I pray for entry into the spirit. And L, I cleanse my imagination, spirit seeing. I cleanse inspiration. I cleanse intuition. Spirit knowing. I bring my arms together. I gather all my forces. Ooh. I give them back to my creator. And with the blessing of the creator, I stand in my full self. And at the end of the journey, even that, I give back. Ah, take me. And now the second time, invite one friend, two friends, one person on the spiritual world to be with you as you give them this blessing. I'll speak less this time. Open ourselves to the spirit. Ah. Cleanse the space. You cleanse your feet and theirs. The knees. The lower body. The heart. Speaking. Thinking. Your whole self. A. And I cleanse, we cleanse our sight. We cleanse our hearing, our deep knowing. We lift ourselves to the source, The heart holds us between heaven and earth. E. Open hearts, we give ourselves back. And one last time, and let's feel how many people we can touch with this. We send this to the ends of the universe. We send this around the virtual world where we're connecting. Let's see what we can create. Feet. Lower body. Our hearts. Our words. Our thoughts. Everything. The threshold opens. Spirit world, seeing, hearing, knowing. And together, we lift ourselves, our hearts stand in the balance. We all, in gratitude, give it back.
Thank you, Cynthia. So beautiful. And I've put your site where everybody can find your Eurythmy online in the chat so people can access that. Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Thank you.
So we're going to just put the links are now in the chat for your next workshop. And just take a deep breath, look at your flowers, and find your way to the next room. There are three workshops next. Mary Stuart Adams, Jolie Luba, and Tisha Blesk. We're so glad that they'll be with us. And then we're going to come back to this room at 5 o'clock Eastern. We have a 30-minute break after these next workshops. And we'll come back here at 5 and hear from Dr. Melinda Tony. And then we're going to just have a whole group reflection for a moment and move into basically a bedtime story for all of us to take with us after today. Okay, everybody see those links? You know where to go. Take your time walking over there. We'll see you in a few minutes. Bye, everyone. Bye.